Do you make New Year's resolutions? Do you want things to be different this year? Because a new year brings new possibilities. It's time to be new and improved. New year, new you. Well, of course, maybe you don't make resolutions. Maybe you don't make a resolution to exercise or to eat better or any of those other common resolutions that people make. And that's fine. Those sorts of things are totally up to you. But there is one resolution that we should all make, one change that we should all strive after, and that is to repent, to change our ways, and to follow after God, and to seek Him with our whole heart. Because I know that repentance is never easy, Christians. Repentance means we first have to admit that we were wrong, that our ways were displeasing to God, and that what we were doing is sin. Part of us doesn't want to do that. Our old nature never wants to say sorry. And even as Christians, part of us always opposes God. It refuses to let go of a favorite sin. And the longer we hold on to that sin, the harder it will be. But we must repent, Christians. Not the least of which because our time is short. Today is the day of repentance. Today is the day of opportunity. There is an urgency to the gospel, an urgency that says, repent so that you will not be swept away in judgment, a judgment that we all so richly deserve. Because consider what Jesus has to say in our gospel. Some came to him, telling him about a disaster that had recently happened. Pontius Pilate, who was a hard governor even on a good day, had made an example of some Galileans. These Galileans, no doubt, had been stirring up trouble. They probably had been causing problems for Rome. And so Pilate put them to death in the midst of one of their own worship services. Soldiers broke in and mixed their blood with their sacrifices. And with such a thing like that happening, it's no surprise that people started to talk about it. And it didn't take long for the gossiping to start. But as gossiping always does, people were making moral judgments about what had happened. Did you hear about so-and-so? How awful. Well, they must have deserved it for some reason. I mean, after all, they did this or they did that, so it's no surprise when you stop to think about it. But Jesus rebukes them. He says, do you think that you are somehow better off than they? That they were worse, that they got what they deserved? As Jesus says, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. What happened to them is no better than what you deserve for your sins. Repent and believe the gospel. And Jesus also refers to a different disaster that had just happened. A tower had collapsed in Siloam, killing 18 people. Jesus doesn't tell us why it collapsed, whether because it was old or it needed to be repaired, or maybe there was an earthquake. Ultimately, it just happened. But the disaster led people, as disasters usually do, to a kind of indifferent pity. I mean, how awful, people would say. It's such a tragedy. You know, somebody ought to do something so this sort of thing doesn't happen again. Maybe we can send them some money to help them out, to help the survivors. It's all such a shame. Well, anyway, back to work. But Jesus rebukes them again. Such things should lead you to self-reflection, to consider the state of your own heart, because you deserve no less. Repent and believe the gospel. So Jesus tells them a parable. He says in verse 6, "A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none." The man in this parable is like God, and the vineyard is like his people. I mean, God often calls his people a vineyard in the Bible. The fruits are like good works, which always go along with faith. Faith and fruits go together. And right along with faith goes repentance. All these things are tied together into one. So the man comes expecting to find fruit, but he doesn't find anything. I mean, it's been 3 years and nothing. 1 year, sure, you could understand that, but 3 years in a row shows that something is wrong. So the man tells the vine dresser to cut it down. Why should it take up the space? Why not put another one in its place, one that will bear fruit as expected? And so it is also with us. God comes expecting to find fruit. And if he doesn't find it, well, then the day of judgment will fall. Either for us individually or at the end of all things. God will clear out the unrepentant. The fruitless will not be able to stand because God calls for us to turn away from our sins. And if we won't listen, then we get what we deserve. Sooner or later, we must answer to God. And that hour is sooner than we think. But if the man in this parable is a picture of God's wrath, the vine dresser is a picture of his mercy. As he says in verse 8, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure." "Wait," the vine dresser says. "Give it one more year. Let me do what I can to change things. Let me try to make it a fruit-bearing tree. And if it does, well and good. If not, then you can cut it down." Because God, in his mercy, Christians, gives us more time. Another week, another month, another year. Time to repent. Time to turn away from sin. Time to turn towards him. God gives us another opportunity because he desires our salvation. He does not want to see the sinner die, but rather that he turn from his wicked ways and live. This time that we're in right now, Christians, is a time of grace and mercy. And the vine dresser doesn't just tell the tree to do better, as if the tree could do it all on its own. Rather, the vine dresser digs up around the tree. He puts on the manure, he puts in the hard work, so that the tree will finally bear fruit in time. And so it is with our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus bore our sins on the cross. And Jesus sends us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who roots out the sin from our hearts, the Spirit who moves us to do what is right, the Spirit who awakens within us the desire to change, awakens within us the desire to repent and to turn towards God. Yes, we answer his call. Yes, we respond to what he does, just as the tree responds by bearing fruit. But we only respond because of what he has first done. God changes us from within, so that by the end of the year, we would be a fruit-bearing tree, a part of his vineyard. So Christians, as we begin 2026, let us answer our Father's call. Let us turn toward Jesus, who has come to make us holy. And let us fight against our sins through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us lay hold of God's mercy while it is today. So that even if this is our last year, we will be prepared for eternity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, lead us to true repentance so that we may follow after you with our whole heart in this new year to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.